it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if it's a full-blown cheating scandal, but it's something.
Something, all right.
That was wild. Brady in the coach's box. Monday Night Football, so yeah. He doesn't have a game. He worked on Sunday. He's got the night off. The game's in Vegas. And he's sitting there with a headset. And they're talking about how he meets or talks to multiple times a week with Chip Kelly. And it does make you wonder what Brady's picking up in these production meetings
right.
that he's now allowed in, what he's relaying to his own coaching staff, what sort of competitive advantage. And, you know, I heard some hand-waving about this morning on Greg's show. I think Curtis doesn't believe it's a competitive advantage. I don't know how you could possibly believe it's not a competitive advantage for the Raiders.
Certainly is.
They might not do much with it. Like they last night.
I don't think it really helped out. Yeah, but
of
all
course
that stuff,
it's a competitive advantage.
No, I know, especially for the league being as paranoid as they are. I mean, the Patriots got in trouble for filming the Browns sidelines or whatever it was, or not even the sideline, whatever the hell they were doing. That Spygate 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Well,
what was that? That was like a Bengals Browns game, and they were filming like just
yeah.
You're
the wrong right. Spot. That was Spygate 2.
Yeah.
Not to be confused
with
Deflategate 1. Yeah, no, they did. I think it was a later pick, yeah.
But, I mean, the league is just so paranoid about everything, and now you have an owner of a team who's also a broadcaster, and he has some clearance, but not all clearance. But he's
damage is done, my friend.
Yeah, that guy. But he's like talking to coaches.
I think a third-round pick for that.
Yeah, I think it was.
That
was
high of a pick?
I think it was.
Oh, wow, that's higher than I remembered.
Yes.
Okay.
Nuts. But, yeah, no, I definitely think that it is something, because, you know, what's the point of even having these meetings? Like, you want them to tell them about their team, or, you know, a little bit of inside to provide a little bit more for the broadcast. But now if he's taking all that information and just relaying it to the Raiders, how's that fair for anybody?
Right. So again, the Raiders may not be able to be good enough to take advantage of it, but that's information.
You can't imagine
that
other coaches are wild about that.
I didn't know. Brady looked like he got caught red-handed, by the way. Did you see that? Brady was, like, slumping down like he was like, declining in his seat. He's like, oh, my God, they saw me?
Like, you know how cameras work, right?
Right. It's like, you know, the boss taking the secretary out to dinner or something like that, and he's like, oh, God, I've been spotted.
That's the dude at Coldplay. That's the dude at Coldplay.
Perfect analogy. There you go. The guy at the Coldplay concert. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, we got to hide from these cameras. Yeah. All of a sudden, Brady's sitting there on headset, and he's like, whoa. Don't pick that. Why are you filming me?
He puts the Bobby Valentine mustache on. He's like, don't worry about this.
So
damage is done, my friend.
James Palmer tweeted this out last night. Tom Brady meets with Chip Kelly 2 to 3 times a week to go over film and go through the game plan. Every weekend, Brady is calling games on Fox, gathering as much info as possible from players and coaches on both teams to be his best in the broadcast booth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Field Yates quote tweeted that. Friend of the show, Field Yates.
Yeah.
And says, notably, Tom Brady is scheduled to call Cowboys-Bears in the Fox booth in Week 3.
Okay.
The Raiders' Week 4 opponent, Keith, you won't believe it, the Chicago Bears.
The Bears. Yeah, they must be thrilled. Ben Johnson's going to love that part of it. That's super fun. Because there was, remember, was it Greg Olsen in the preseason that had that line about, he's like, oh, the Bears like Luther Burden more than Roma Dunze or whatever.
Yeah, it turns out bad intel, by the
way.
But yes.
But I'm saying, so like, I'm sure there are times where there's plenty of info that, you know, Tony Romo and Greg Olsen and all these guys have, and they don't share all of it, but they have that information. They don't always tell you on the broadcast, but it's just to give them a better sense, a little bit more in-depth knowledge of the teams that they're calling the games for. But if you know, you wouldn't run up and tell the opponent every single thing that you've heard, but now you can. And so this is such a weird thing. I was wrong. I never thought Brady was actually going to do this job. I didn't. Because, like, remember, he took a year off.
I didn't think he'd ever get to the first game.
Never thought he was going to do a game. So
yeah,
I was wrong about that.
I wasn't sure with all the Raiders minority stake that he got last year. I wasn't sure he'd make it to this year. I was wrong about that.
So that's what I'm saying. So yeah. I've been wrong the whole time, but I thought it was a weird, like, big publicity deal with Fox, and they wanted Brady and whatever. So he took a year off. So he could have been doing games sooner. He didn't. That's what led to some of that Greg Olsen, like, controversy, because he was actually pretty good. And they're like, well, no, Brady's actually on the A team. Then he comes back, does a year, thought he was horrible early, got a little bit better later on. And then you're like, all right, well, now that this ownership thing is kicking off, like, I don't think he's going to be calling games. Wrong. He's still calling games, but I can't imagine. And maybe we're just so predetermined, you know, Bill Belichick, for example, like how he would not be a fan of this. I would imagine other coaches around the league feel the same way that Bill would have felt and been like, wait a minute. So the broadcaster that we have to sit and talk to and tell, and like, I know he can't go to practice, but like that kind of insight, he also works with the Raiders and talks to their offensive coordinator twice a day. That doesn't add up. You can't find somebody else to do the game.
2 to 3 times a week. Orlovsky later on in that clip said at one point he also talked to Patrick Graham. This is really good insight.
Yeah.
They were getting gashed, I guess, in the preseason running the football, and Brady texted Patrick Graham, clean it up or something like that.
Oh, that's good.
It's like, ooh, that's good. That's some good insight from Brady.
But you know what I mean? Like, just if you want to own the team, great, but you can't call the game. And you're not that good at calling the game where it's going to be such a letdown. Plus, then, people are going to watch the game to watch the game. They're not watching because of him.
And he's on the headset. I mean, he could be real. Forget like real time, or I'm sorry, conversations leading up to the game, and like, hey, by the way, Chip, I just heard this. Ben Johnson just told me this, so get that ready for game four. A bad example if it's Chip Kelly, but you understand the point.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm talking to the Bears coaches. Let's relay it to the Raiders coaches. He also texts with Patrick Graham, so both coordinators. Fine. How about he's sitting there on headset in the game the other night? And I know it's a rarity for him. The Raiders usually playing on a Sunday. He's usually doing a game on a Sunday, but last night it's like, you could relay whatever in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is wild, and you may not care. I understand a lot of people don't care. That's fine. I'm not telling you to care. It is an odd situation. It was a super odd visual last night, and it is a competitive advantage for the Raiders. Whether or not they're good enough to do anything about it, we could also debate that. It is a competitive advantage. If you don't care,
yeah,
fine. But that whole situation has been weird, and last night was the oddest piece to it yet.
Yeah, it is strange. Also, there's something just odd about Tom Brady owning the Raiders. And so, it was the week one team that the Patriots faced. You have the statue out there. And then I know he wasn't there for it because he was calling a game somewhere. But he owns the Raiders. And you know, I'm not telling any owner what to do with their team. If they don't want to sell anybody a piece of the team, I get it. But if like all players and of all franchises, one guy that maybe you would want, like if Robert Kraft's going to tell everybody how Tom Brady's a Patriot for life, even though he spent 3 years and won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, and now he owns the Raiders, like that guy couldn't have 5% here. It's not my money. It's all that stuff. But I'm just saying like that. It just feels like of all athletes that you would want to be associated with your franchise, like John Elway with the Broncos, and like how is Brady not here?
So that is the other piece to it. And I was wondering the same thing. You see him sitting there with the headset on last night, and he's a part of the Raiders organization. And don't you kind of wish that was him here?
Yeah, it's strange.
Like, don't you kind of, as a Patriots fan, don't you wish he was doing that here and having conversations with, I don't know, Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels 2 or 3 times a week and giving his input, texting the defensive coordinator to clean it up or whatever nonsense it was? Like, don't you wish Brady was doing all of that here? And I think that was hammered home watching that game last night. You're a Patriots fan, and you're like, oh, yeah, that stinks. He's there. He's not with us.
Yeah, it's just, it is a little weird.
And he easily could have been here.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I would think. It's not like he owns the whole team or half the team or even like a third of the team. No, it's a very small percentage. You're seeing more and more of that around all major sports, right? Guys owning parts of the team. Magic Johnson owns part of the Washington Commanders. So like you see athletes, you know, buying into some of these teams. But you know, the Raiders, now it's not the Jets. It's not the Bills. It's not the Giants. It's not the Dolphins. Like there are worse teams. It's not the Ravens, not the Steelers. I don't know. The Raiders are probably in that next wave of teams down. It's not like he's owning some team that's out of sight, out of mind, like the Carolina Panthers. Like you saw him week one, for God's sakes.
Text line, please tell us the info Brady's getting that teams give him that's such an advantage. I don't know. You just gave the perfect example, Keith. If Ben Johnson's like, hey, we like this look. We don't like that look. We don't feel so good about our team in this situation, that situation. Mm-hmm. In the red zone, here's what we like to do. There's a million things in these production meetings that could get relayed to Brady that he could in turn relay to the coordinators. He also talks to Pete Carroll.
Well, you remember Tony Romo's first 2 years doing the job, and he predicted every single play, and people were like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And now I don't know if he does it as much or whatever, but part of that is, he's a former quarterback.
Yeah, some of it's
player.
Film study.
Some of it is that, but some of it is also spending time with the teams and sort of knowing what they like to do. They are supposed to give, like, some inside information. So, I don't know. I just find it odd that, like, they really need him to do these games still.
I think Twitch chat had a fair point. I think it was our guy Monty Mack. It scrolled by, so credit to Monty there. Yep. But he said, if you're a coach and you tell Brady anything, you're a moron. Well, that I do agree with. Like, now that you know he's a part owner of the Raiders, you got to be guarded in what you share with
him. But then it's also just diminishing returns across the board.
Well, 100%. Yeah, yeah. But then that...
Just get somebody else to do the game.
Well, that's a league problem. And Florio had this point today. Florio's like, the league's letting him do it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be mad, don't be mad at Brady. If the league's going to let him do it, Brady should do it. Be mad at the league. Why are they letting him do it? And, yeah, it's going to diminish the broadcast. Any insight Brady would have got, if I'm a coach, I'm a coordinator, I'm a player, and they meet with players too.
Yeah.
So, like, players may not be as on top of things. They might be in awe of Brady. They might say, hey, oh, yeah, Tom, I'll tell you this, I'll tell you that, in a production meeting where they're not as guarded as a coach might be. Coaches are paranoid. Mm-hmm. Players aren't. So I think you can only control so much of that. But if you're a coach and you're blabbing to Brady.
Yeah, that's on you.
And your team is anywhere on the Raiders' schedule this year, well, then that is your fault.
Yeah, but then it's almost like, all right, what's the point of any of these meetings? What are you even getting out of the meetings? And then what does it add to the broadcast? And then that's my point even last year. Is like, all right, if you're not getting a broadcaster that is, like, you're paying the guy so much money. Like, Fox is paying him so much money to do the games, but he can't even do the games at the full extent as some of the other broadcasters are doing. It's like, just find somebody else.
Yeah. Why would they reveal anything to Brady if he's sitting there? Again, I think the coaches are paranoid. Players are going to be in Brady. They probably just want Brady to, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Think they're smart players, talk me up on the broadcast. I mean, whatever. There's a million reasons players would do it. I agree with that point about coaches. But there's a million reasons players would do it. 617-779-7937. John is in Draycott. What's going on, John?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Great.
All right. First of all, Brady did such a great job last night in the booth. They scored 9 points and Geno Smith threw 3 interceptions.
No,
so
I'm not saying it really worked out last night.
Maybe a distraction.
It worked out pretty well week one. I mean, the Raiders looked good week one.
Right, but he was doing a game that day, so he had nothing to do with the Raiders' offense week one against the Patriots. But
he's talking to Chip Kelly twice a day.
Yeah, but John, he can still glean information from production meetings and relay that. And so it didn't work out last night. That doesn't mean he's not getting useful information. Maybe the Raiders aren't good enough to take advantage of it, but it doesn't mean he's not getting good information.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100% on this. I think it looks ludicrous. I mean, it would be like me being the health inspector and owning 3 restaurants in the same city. Like, who's inspecting my restaurants? It'd be like the craziest thing we could ever see. The other thing, too, that I would be concerned with, if I own a team, I'm not letting my quarterback sit in a room with him alone, because there's tampering options, obviously. Like, in a couple of weeks, I know he's doing Bengals-Lions. Maybe he likes Jake Browning and thinks he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and he starts tampering with the guy. And who knows what happens from there. I'm just throwing that out there as a plausible possibility. But
that's a good point.
It is. I remember last year during, like, the Super Bowl, or I guess it wasn't the Super Bowl. It was, like, the NFC playoffs, where the Raiders were interested in Ben Johnson. And he's doing games. And so, like, that's, like, another, like, can the teams talk to Ben Johnson yet? Well, he can. And it's, like, just, like, a weird, like, gray area.
So that would be lower on my personal list, but it's a fair point. He can tamper with a coach. He can tamper with a player. Brady's been caught tampering when he was through back channels interested in going to the Miami Dolphins. So, yeah, Brady's already proven that he would do that. So why would you think he wouldn't do it here? Again, that would be down my personal list. That's still going to come down to, are you offering the most money? Like, if Brady's not offering the most money to these players and the Raiders aren't offering the most money, I bet they're not going to get a bunch of them just because Brady had 10 minutes to sit down with them. But it is an advantage, and the Ben Johnson one's a great example, where he has access that other teams aren't even allowed to have at that point.
That didn't pay off for him last year, right? They got Pete Carroll, who I don't think was anybody's top choice as head coach.
Not mine.
They didn't do great in free agency. So after 1 year, I don't know if it's really paid off for the Raiders yet, but we'll see. I mean, if he continues to do games, continues to meet with more players and more coaches along the way, we'll see what happens.
Okay, so it's an obvious conflict of interest, I think. If you disagree, you can discuss 617-779-7937. 7937. You might not care. My sense is a lot of Patriots fans don't really care. But again, you can weigh in on that. Plus, do you kind of feel left out as a Patriots fan when you see him sitting there with Raiders coaches as part of Raiders ownership on headset on national TV? And does any part of you wonder, why isn't he doing that here? I think we know the answer. Mark Davis gave him cash or gave him a good offer, to buy in and make some money as a minority owner. And the Crafts didn't want to give any of that up. So I think you know your answer, but a party who's a Patriots fan has to be bothered by that. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Keith, Brady's coming out of retirement.
Yeah, I saw that headline. People got excited.
I was so angry at this Schefter tweet yesterday because he knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Schefter, Tom Brady is coming out of retirement, sort of, to join Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Max Crosby, Rob Gronkowski, Sauce Gardner, Myles Garrett, and others at the Fanatics Flag Football Classic, a competitive flag football tournament taking place during Riyadh season in Saudi Arabia on March 21st, 2026. It'll be Brady's first football action since retiring 3 years ago. Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, Kyle Shanahan will be coaching the three teams.
Finally, Brady and Sean Payton together. Didn't work out in Miami the way they wanted it to, but here they are playing flag football in Saudi Arabia.
Odd.
You know what's going to Saudi Arabia in 2 years? WrestleMania.
Oh, is it?
And people are pissed.
Oh, are
people
they?
Here are pissed. Yeah, so I think 2026 it's in Vegas again. 2027 it's in
Why are
Saudi
people
Arabia.
Mad? Just the time it's going
to
air?
Well, I think the time, but like, because so many fans travel to it and go to it here, and they're like, it just,
gotcha.
It's like such a sellout move, you know, to go over there. Plus, they have interesting rules as it relates to the women wrestlers.
Yes.
So when they first went to Saudi Arabia, the women wrestlers couldn't even participate. Then the next time they were over there,
right.
That's like half your roster.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, we'll take the money. Then the other time they went over there and they have to wear, let's just say, different ring gear than they normally wear.
Gotcha.
You can't see everything like you could here in the States.
Okay.
So anyway, I think they figured it out where like they can wrestle, but it's different.
Okay.
But they're like, hey, we'll take the money. Just like we've seen a lot of different sports take the money.
So this is all part of the NFL's marketing of flag football. We drafted rosters for flag football in the Olympics, which is coming up in the U.S. in, what, 2028?
Yeah, I didn't take Tom Brady.
I did not take Brady either.
No.
I took Josh Allen. You were very critical of that. Not really a flag football player.
Yeah, he's going to truck stick somebody. He's going to take the flag.
He's still pretty quick. But it's the NFL promoting that.
Mm-hmm.
It's another sport taking money from the Saudis. We've seen this quite frequently now in professional sports, whether that is EPL teams, which is long since gone,
mm-hmm.
whether it's LIV Golf or an example like this. And then you had the whole awkward exchange. You saw this, Keith. Greg was in here talking about it one of the breaks. Brady introducing the Saudis last night was an awkward visual.
Oh,
it was, and he's typically awkward in these situations too.
No, he is,
but sort of promoting
sneaky,
the whole thing. Yeah,
for somebody that everyone's like, oh, like, he's so smooth and he's handsome and all stuff. Like he is awkward in these situations, right? And he's doing like this weird like intro or whatever else. And everyone's just, like looking at it sideways. Yeah, it was kind of bizarre. Also, I have zero interest in this. As far as like watching them play, like I think the conversation of him like going over there, like that's worthwhile. But like, just now at least you have some current players, and it's not just like old players.
Who are the other quarterbacks? I don't see any other quarterbacks.
Yeah,
on the list.
I don't know what it's going to end up being. Like those are the names that they pulled out. So you almost wonder like who's really going to be playing or who, however that's going to go. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you know whatever for an extra couple of bucks, you'll do it.
Well, he's certainly willing to do that. And again, he had to plunk down some money for the Raiders, but by all accounts, that was a sweetheart deal where he was able to buy in there. Mark Davis probably needs his cash more than Robert Kraft does, but Brady's going to make money hand over fist being a minority owner of an NFL club. He's going to take whatever money from Michael Rubin via the Saudis.
Say, yeah, he is.
So he's taken this, and he's taken the Fox gig. So he's doing pretty well in his post-New England career, already with the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, unlike his former head coach, who is, in fairness, Keith, now 2-1 at the University of North Carolina. But an odd 24 hours for Tom Brady, and neither of which was on my radar. Didn't know he was going to be sitting there with a headset on last night on Monday Night Football.
No.
Didn't know he was, quote-unquote, coming out of retirement to play some flag football.
But what's funny, too, is, Lanny, you probably remember this, one of the first Saudi Arabia like big shows WWE had, they wanted Undertaker and Goldberg, right? to wrestle? Well, they actually,
the Prince wanted Yokozuna and the Ultimate Warrior.
Both dead.
And they had to inform him that they're no longer with us.
Correct. Oh,
no. So it's like wrestling match in the sky.
Yeah.
But that's what they want. They spent all this money, and they're like, so then that's what also why fans hate it, because then like storyline, everything changes just like on a whim, because they're like, hey, we want a match, and we're paying you a ton of money, so they throw these matches together, and so they want to Billy's point, they want two dead wrestlers to go at it, which would have been incredible. They didn't get that match, so then they got the next best thing: two almost dead wrestlers in Goldberg and Undertaker.
Goldberg almost killed the Undertaker.
They shouldn't have been in the ring. Like, it was sad. It was sad, but that's what they wanted, because those guys were super famous in, like, the 90s. So when I first saw Tom Brady, I was waiting for, like, the next wave of players to be all, like, Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith. It wasn't that. It was at least more modern-day guys, but, like, who knows? Like, who knows what they're cooking up?
Oh, who knows who's further down the roster? I have no idea.
It's probably some pretty old dudes.
All right. My guess. Well, I would watch that.
Yeah.
In some flag football.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.